Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Welcome to Bethel this morning. Welcome everyone who is here and those who are watching via our stream. I would like to encourage everyone to continue to pray for those who are sick. There are many that are dealing with COVID and other sicknesses. There are also those who have been exposed. A lot of the people that are not here this morning are because they've been exposed to COVID and they're just trying to protect everyone else. So just continue to keep that in your prayers. This is a serious situation. You know, we're not making light of COVID. We believe that it is a disease, that it's affecting people. But at the same time, I believe we have to live our life. And, you know, if we live in fear, that's going to create more problems for us, living in fear, than if we just love each other, do our best to be healthy, and understand what's going on around us. There are lots of things that can be done. I encourage you to do some research because there are some medications, some herbs, some different things that can be taken to help build your immune system. That's what we really need to make sure that we're doing. So I just want to encourage you this morning, continue to pray, continue to trust God. And my message this morning is on hope in Christ. And the reason that I chose this scripture is that I was actually texting with Roger Stepp, and you know, we were talking about some of the things that we were going through, losing Dot, and he said he texted me this scripture. He said, "This is my go-to scripture in times like this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." King James says miserable. Either word there is appropriate because that when you look at the actual rendering from the Greek, you could use either one of those words, pitiable, miserable. It just makes the point is that we have hope, we have hope in this life, but we have more than that. We have hope in the life hereafter. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about having that hope and recognizing that we have hope in a place that we're going to be able to go after this life, but we also have hope in this life. A man went to the doctor for his annual checkup, his annual physical. And while I was there, that doctor did all kinds of tests and checked him out. And then he said, "You can leave now, but send your wife in." So when she came in, the doctor set her down, and he said, "Listen, your husband is very ill. However, there is hope. All you need to do is fix him 3 square meals a day, put him in bed, and meet all of his needs. Whatever they are, just make sure you take good care of him. Meet all of his needs." She said, "Okay." She went out. Her husband was waiting in the car. And he was sitting there, and she got in, and there was a dead silence. Finally, the husband said, "Okay, what did the doctor say?" She looked at him and said, "He said you're going to die." Now, hopefully, you men have a wife that would not let you die if you were in a situation like that. I got to tell you, I just went through COVID myself, and it hit me pretty hard. I got to tell you, I've always considered myself to be pretty healthy, and I try to keep my immune system strong, but it put me down. I could barely get out of bed for quite a few days. And I just want you to know that my wife was not that woman. She was there for me. In fact, it seemed to me like, and you know, of course, I was in bed doing a lot of sleeping, but it seemed to me like every 5 minutes she was coming in wanting to poke something down my throat. She wanted to give me some kind of a pill, or she makes bone broth, which is very nutritious. She wanted me to drink that, and my goodness, it just seemed like every 5 minutes she was waking me up. And finally, I just said, "Would you leave me alone?" Now, that was not a very nice thing to say to somebody who's trying to take care of you. Thankfully, she did not leave me alone. She knew that I was sick, and she overlooked my rudeness, and she continued to nurse me back to health. But I really do want to thank everyone for your prayers and your concern. It was a pretty tough time for me. And of course, it hits different people in different ways. And recently, you know, this is so difficult for us, and we're grieving, and we're going to be grieving for a long time, losing Pastor Dot. And it just hit her in a way that sometimes it didn't hit other people. Some people just have cold symptoms. Some people have it like I had. I did not have any respiratory issues. I just was really tired, really my back, I think I ached all over. I had lots of pain. But, you know, it's just affecting people in a different ways. And we're going to do our very best to continue to get through this, continue to pray, continue to trust our God, and not allow the fear that the world would like to put up on us to enter into our lives. We're just going to live our life, you know? And one of the things that I'm going to share with you this morning is that, you know, hopefully you're ready to go. You're ready to die. Now, I'm not saying that you want to die, that you want to pass on, but I want you to be ready, because it can happen any time to any of us. You just never know what could happen. We're going to pass from this life. We are mortal beings that are going to die, thanks to Adam and Eve. We have this syndrome that's going to cause us to die. And we're going to pass from this life. So this morning, the first thing that I want to talk to you about, because I believe that the apostle is telling us here in the scripture that we have hope in this life, but we also have hope after this life. And I believe the Bible teaches us that we have a place of residence after this life. We call it heaven. Now, I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you this morning, and the reason for that is because I believe what 1 Corinthians 13:1 tells us, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So the Word of God is our basis for all understanding of everything that we know spiritually and that we walk it through in this life. We stand on the truth of the Word of God. So I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you. My responsibility is to share, to give you two or three witnesses. Your responsibility is to take those scripture that I give you and make sure that Pastor Rob's not taking anything out of context. You have to be a Berean. You have to study the Word for yourself and know that everything. And if you feel like I've said something and taken it out of context, please come and tell me, and we'll talk about it. I'm not above being corrected. I want to make sure that I'm teaching you the Word of God in such a way that it makes a strong foundation for your life. That is so important to me as pastor. So the first thing I want to do this morning is I'd just like to answer some questions. What is heaven? 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19 says this, and Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. He's talking about a vision that he saw. And what did he see? He saw the Lord God Almighty, the creator of all things, sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. This, what we see here from this scripture is that heaven is God's residence. Heaven is where God is, where he has his throne. Heaven is God's place. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Of course, Solomon is talking. He just completed the temple and they're dedicating it. But he says, when they pray toward this place, talking about Jerusalem and the temple, hear from heaven your dwelling place. His eyelids test the sons of men. So, heaven is God's dwelling place. Absolutely. The scripture absolutely is clear about that. I could have given you probably 100 scripture this morning that declare that heaven is God's dwelling place. Psalms 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. And when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, Jesus said this, "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." So absolutely, this place we call heaven is God's home. God's dwelling place. It's where God is. It's where he has his throne. He's the king. He's the creator. He's the ruler of all things. And he has a throne in this place we call heaven. So where is heaven? When Jacob was coming back from his uncle's, Laban's, after being there for several years, he came to a place called Bethel, or the house of God, or that's what he called it. And he had a dream. And Genesis 28:12 says this, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." So where is this heaven? This heaven that we're talking about is up someplace. We don't know exactly where, but it's truly, it is up. It's high and lifted up place. It's a place up. In Luke chapter 24, verse 51, "Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was departed from them and carried up into heaven." We're talking about Jesus. He went up into heaven. So heaven is referred to as being up. Now, does that mean that heaven is millions and millions of miles away? I don't think so. In fact, I think heaven, although it's up, it's referred to as up because God is high and lifted up. I believe that heaven is probably closer than we think. Jesus came and declared that the kingdom of God is at hand. I believe that heaven... Now, I don't want to make a doctrine of this, but I believe that heaven is a different dimension than what we live in. Now, scientists, some of them, I wouldn't say all, but some scientists believe that there are as many as 10 dimensions that are surrounding us and and we're just one of those dimensions. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I truly believe that we are living in a natural dimension, and God and the angels and those who've departed are living in a supernatural dimension. And I don't think that's heresy at all. I just believe that it's a way for us to understand that when we leave this earth, we're going to immediately be in a place, life after death. And where we go is a choice that we make here on this earth. We have to choose. Now, I've heard lots of people say, oh, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, this loving God that we serve made a way for all men to be able to spend eternity with Almighty God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that way is a simple, very, very simple. Believe that Jesus died on the cross and came back to life, and you'll be saved. Confess it. Believe it in your heart. Recognize that you're a sinner, and we all are sinners because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. We all have a sin nature, and that the only way to fix that sin nature is through the Savior that God sent to earth, His only begotten Son. So there is a way, and God is not sending anybody to hell. He's giving you choices, choices in this earth. So where is heaven? Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Heaven is up someplace. Heaven is in a different dimension. Supernaturally, we can see into the supernatural world if God opens our eyes. Many people have visions where they see into the supernatural world. They see angels. They see things that are happening around us. Sometimes people see demonic forces. But I would say this, if all you're seeing is demonic forces, you really need to pray, because there's more with us than against us. Always remember that. You should be, if you're seeing things in the supernatural realm, you should be seeing the forces of God on your side against the demonic forces. So the next thing I want to answer, who is in heaven? Mark chapter 16, verse 19 says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. So according to this scripture, God is in heaven. We already established that. But Jesus is also in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Who else is in heaven? Mark 13, 32, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So, according to this scripture and many others, angels are also in heaven. They're created beings. God created them, and they're in heaven. So, the Father, Jesus, angelic beings are in heaven. Philippians 3, 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a citizenship. The believers in Jesus Christ have a place in heaven. We're citizens. I'm a citizen of the United States. I can go anywhere in the world, and I still am a citizen of the United States. There's privileges and responsibilities that go along with that. We are citizens. We are no longer a part of this world system. We live in this world, but we're not a part of the system. We're citizens of a greater place. Citizens of heaven. And therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ in this earth. And being an ambassador, we have ambassadors all over the world. United States does. And as an ambassador, they're responsible for being a representative of our nation. And therefore, they have a huge responsibility to represent the United States of America as from a proper perspective. So other people will look at the United States with honor and respect. And that's what we have. We are citizens of a greater place. And because we're citizens and ambassadors for Christ, we have a responsibility to set an example to this whole world of what Christ represents, of who Christ is and what the kingdom of God represents. And where our citizenship is, That is where our heart should be. We should be laying up treasure in heaven. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Some translations translate that as rooms. The Greek word means to place, a place to stay, an abiding, a dwelling, an abode. You can translate it as a mansion, a room. The reality is, for those of us who know and love Christ, we don't really care what it is, right? We just want to be there, and we're thankful that God has prepared a place for us. So this place, whatever it is, it's going to be more magnificent than we can even imagine. We can't imagine what it is that God has prepared, that Jesus Christ went away so that he could prepare a place for us. But what this establishes, as far as doctrine goes, is that there is a place that Jesus has prepared for his people to be able to go. So when we pass from this life, we're going to enter in. Now, listen to me. Not everybody agrees that when you pass, you're going to immediately enter into the presence of the Lord. I believe that the Apostle Paul told us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that tells me that we're going to be there immediately. However, there are those who believe that you're just going to go into a sleep mode, and then when Jesus comes to set up his millennial reign, everyone's going to come back to life, and we'll live eternally with him then. I'm not going to argue that point, but I certainly believe the Scripture truly leans toward the reality that we will be in the presence of the Lord when we pass from this life. So, who's going to be in heaven? We are. That's right. The Father, Jesus, angelic beings, and we are. Now, we're not going to have, when we leave this life, we're a spirit being. Our spirits are going to enter into the presence of Jesus Christ. We're not going to have our glorified bodies until Jesus returns. Now, that's my belief. I'd have to develop that and teach you why I believe that. And the reality is, some of these things are not really that important when it comes to our salvation and what's going to happen in the future. What is important is that we understand that we can have salvation in Christ, and whether we enter into the presence of Jesus immediately upon death or we wait until he comes back, we're going to see him as believers in Christ. That's the important thing. We can know that absolutely and without doubt. Let's look at just a few more scriptures to drive home this point. Matthew 9:21. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Okay, Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. And this man has been a religious man all his life. He has followed the commandments. And Jesus said, "Have you done this and this and followed the commandments?" "All my life I've done this." And Jesus said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to lay up treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. I want to, the purpose of using the scriptures is because I want you to understand that we are laying up treasure in heaven. We have the ability to lay up treasure while we're on this earth. We should be concentrating on the kingdom of God and laying up treasure in heaven. You know, there's a lot of I follow some of the financial things that are going on in our world, and some of the financial gurus, and a lot of them are saying right now, with the condition of the world, you need to purchase gold, you need to purchase silver. There's just certain things, a lot of things that they talk about that you need to do. Now, the reality is, gold and silver is not an investment; it's a hedge what they say. It's a hedge, a protection when if the currency fails. Okay, well, here's my point. We must put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm not saying that you shouldn't prepare for things that could happen. It, you know, it's a good idea. Be as prepared as you can. But do not worry about it. Don't let the cares of this world to press you down and overtake you and get you to the point where you're worrying, do I have enough gold? Do I have enough silver? Do I have enough food? Do I have enough this and that and that? That'll drive you crazy. You can prepare. Do your best to prepare. We should be prepared for any kind of disaster. Disasters can happen anytime. I believe we should be prepared for those. But my goodness, let's not allow the world to put fear upon us, because that's what they want to do. God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's our God. We can trust Him. Matthew 16:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust and destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. We can lay up treasure in heaven. So if we can lay up treasure in heaven, guess what? We must be going to that place where we lay up treasure. I believe the Apostle Paul made it abundantly clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, and I've already mentioned this. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased. Rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We can trust God's word. Amen. The apostle is very confident here. When we pass from this life, we're immediately in the presence of the Lord. That's this place that we're talking about, heaven. It's where you're a citizen. It's where you lay up treasure. You have a place that has been prepared for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's incredible to think about. This is a magnificent place. This is beyond anything that we can imagine or even hope for. And we do have hope, but it's more than we can hope for. Hope, I found this quote, hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense, regardless of how it turns out. So having hope in Christ, it's not about the outcome. It's about making sure that we put our trust and our hope in the Lord. So what is heaven like? 2 Corinthians 12:2. And I know man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up in the third heaven. The heaven of heavens, the one that we're talking about this morning. Now, there's some different views on this. A lot of people have speculation on who Paul is talking about. I personally believe Paul is talking about himself. But, he doesn't make that clear. But I believe he was. He goes on to say, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, what I want to point out to you, I don't want to argue about who it is or anything like that, but what I want to point out is that Paul says this place is paradise. The Greek word means a park, a special place, a place of future happiness. It's an Eden of sorts. It's a place that we can't even imagine what it's like. the Persians had an idea of what heaven was, and it was, for those of you who are hunters, you'll probably like this, it was a grand enclosure, a preserve, a hunting ground, a park, shady and well-watered, in which wild animals were kept for the hunt. It was enclosed by walls and furnished with towers for the hunters. If you're a hunter, you'll like that aspect of heaven. I don't care what it is, what you enjoy doing in life. I have this idea of what heaven is going to be like when I enter in. It's going to be a place where I get to do everything that I ever wanted to do all the time. If you're a hunter, you know, that's what you'll get to do. And as a young man, when I had some athletic ability, I liked to play basketball. I'm going to get to play some basketball, and I'm going to be awesome. You know, and it may not be like that at all, but we have to have this, some kind of, every one of us has to have some kind of vision of what heaven is going to be like for us. And recognize that it's going to be even more awesome than you can imagine. It's going to be above and beyond that. But we need to think about it because it's a place that's been designed for us. It's a garden. It's a pleasure ground. It's a place even better than Eden. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 what heaven is like. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 21, his Lord, now we're jumping down because he gave all these talents. And here's what happened when he came back, and those who did something with their talents, this is what he says to them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So what I glean from this is that heaven is going to be a place, it's not going to be a place where I'm going to be sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. It's going to be a place of responsibility. It's going to be a place where God is going to use us more than we've ever been used in this earth before. He's going to give us opportunity to expand and grow and be rulers over certain things. I don't know what exactly that means, but it's very clear. They said that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be a place of great joy. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, Revelation chapter 21 is describing heaven coming to earth. It's talking about New Jerusalem coming down and establishing the Christ millennial reign. So I'm going to share the scripture with you, but the reason I'm sharing it is because I believe it's talking about heaven coming to earth. So we can trust that whatever is described in these verses apply to our heavenly abode when we leave this earth. So it's Revelation 21:4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's not going to be any crying there. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So heaven is a place of responsibility where will we be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, only great joy in the Lord. Great and incredible joy. I feel sorry for people who call themselves atheists because they have no hope. They're without hope. Hope of anything. One writer put it this way. Atheism is the death of hope. The suicide of the soul. to not believe in a creator, and to not believe that God has made a way for us to be have a face-to-face relationship with our Heavenly Father wipes away all hope. Last thing I want to share with you this morning is there hope in this life? Because I believe the apostle, when he wrote this, he wasn't saying there's no hope in Christ in this life. He was just saying there's hope in Christ, but look to the future as well. There's hope after this life. Psalms 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We can see the goodness of our God in the land of the living. I see the goodness of God all the time. Everywhere I go, I see the goodness of God. I see the goodness of God in the family that He has given me. I see the goodness of God in the church that we have. I see the goodness of God even in this world. Even when there's terrible things happen, I still see the goodness of God being exhibited by His people toward those who are in pain. I see the goodness of God. God, He wants us to see His goodness. He wants us to dwell on His goodness as long as we're living in the land of the living. We know that John 10:10 tells us the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. God didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief did. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, to give you life, and that life may be more abundant, an abundant life. You see, there is hope in this life. There is hope that we can see the goodness of God in the land of the living. There is hope that we will see the abundant life that God has given us. Abundance means a lot of different things in different situations, but abundance always means more than enough, more than you need. In every situation, you will have more grace than you need. You will have more finance than you need. You will have more love than you need. You will have more of everything that you need. That's abundance because our God is so good. He's here with us in the land of the living. You know, sometimes we put our hope and our trust in government and politicians and people that make laws and rules. And we should have people in our government and in our leadership that we can trust. That many times we find out that they cannot be trusted. So it's really important that we recognize that although we are living in this world and I promote voting and doing everything we can as citizens to choose the right people. Thank God we live in this republic that we live in. Now, there's a lot of talk about the democracy. Well, the reality is we do not live in a pure democracy. We live in a republic, a democratic republic where we vote in officials and they make decisions for us. If we lived in a democracy, a pure democracy, it would be mob rule. Democracy, everything that has to be decided by all the people or the majority. That our forefathers knew that was not going to work. So we live in a republic, which is it's been a great experiment, and it's afforded all of us sitting in here or listening to my voice a lifestyle that we could not have had in most forms of government. We've had freedom, and we've had the ability to make certain choices. Now, I do believe that those freedoms are in danger. So pray. Pray fervently. Pray for revival. Pray that God's people will rise up, that the church of Jesus Christ will repent and turn back to Him, because that's what He said would is necessary for that, for us to see revival take place and see healing come to our land. That's what we want above everything else. Malcolm Muggeridge was a very famous, highly respected British journalist who for many years was a staunch atheist. Toward the end of his career, he became a Christian. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Several years ago, he was a guest at a breakfast in Washington, D.C., where he shared his life story. And he talked fervently about his life as an atheist and then his conversion as a believer in Jesus Christ. When he finished his testimony, he made a number of comments about world affairs, and just about everything he said was pessimistic. He was pessimistic about the direction of the world, pessimistic about things that were happening, pessimistic about leadership. And afterwards, one of the people asked him, Dr. Muggeridge, you've been very pessimistic today. Don't you have any reason for optimism? And he replied, he said, I could not be more optimistic than I am today. Because my hope is not in government. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And he allowed that to sink in for a minute. And then he said to the guy, just think, if the apostolic church, the first century church, had pinned its hope on the Roman Empire. Think about that. We can't pin our hopes on our government. We can't pin our hopes on our leadership. We pin our hopes on Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to leave you with one last scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That scripture came to the Jewish people. Jeremiah was predicting after 70 years of bondage in Babylon, that they would be released to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild. And he gave them hope for the future. I believe that as believers in Jesus Christ, we can hold on to this scripture and believe that there is hope for our future here in this earth, in the land of the living. But most of all, there is great hope for the future that we have after this life. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.